Come on, give him a big praise. It's a Wednesday night. We serve a miracle working God. We're in God's house tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give your neighbor a high five tonight, and you may be seated here this evening. Well, it's great to be here in God's house. Amen. I was telling Albert, I was like, bro, I feel like I haven't seen you forever. I felt like the prodigal son coming back home. You know, last week we had a death in the family, and my wife's side of the family, we were there spending some time with them. And then on Sunday, you know, we have an annual thing where me and my family, we get together and we go hang out at the Renaissance Festival. So it was kind of like I felt like I've been missing church, man. And when you miss church, you know, you feel like you're in sin. You're like, man, I need to get to church. And especially being in church for many years of my life, I only miss church if I'm sick or going out somewhere with my family. But it feels great. I feel great to be here in God's house. And not only that, but tonight to be able to share the word here tonight. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. 1 Kings 19:19, it says this. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shephath, was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him, and he threw his mantle on him. And when we look at this portion of scripture, you know, well, actually this month we've been talking about an increase. And I remember Pastor Danny had texted me, and he was telling me, you know, hey, this is going to be our theme for the month. And immediately the word level up came to mind. And when I think about this point right here of Elisha, you know, he was a young man that had a desire and a passion in his life to level up. But we also understood that it took a process to go through that, because there was somebody that went ahead of him, and that was Elijah. We read the story about this awesome prophet that God had used to do great and mighty things and to perform many miracles. But not only that, but to be a tremendous messenger of God. But then there came a point in his life that he understood that the time and a moment had come where he had to pass the mantle on. In other words, he had to pass on the responsibility. And this was actually a time where even Elisha was being pursued. They were actually trying to kill him. You know, the Bible talks about that many of the prophets were being killed by Jezebel. And now she was pursuing to kill this prophet. And he kind of came to a place within his life where he kind of felt discouraged and he wasn't too unsure of himself. And he was going through all these things, and he began to cry out for help. And God sent him this young man by the name of Elisha. And this young man was a young man that desired to go to the next level in his life. And I believe that here tonight, that should be a desire in many of our lives, that we should desire to always level up within our lives. Hello, somebody. Especially now as believers. You know, maybe in the world, we don't know where our mind was at, wherever you were at. But now as believers in the things of God, we should always now come to a place and a desire in our life to say, you know what, I want to grow. I want to increase. I don't want to just stay mediocre. I just don't want to just stay at a surface level in my walk with God. But I want to pursue the fullness of God. Is there anybody like that here tonight that desire that? That say, you know what, God, I want more from your life. Because one of the things that is we understand is that God desires to give more. Did you know that? Is that God wants to bless you, and not only bless you, but God wants to raise you up, and not only raise you up, but God wants to get deeper into your life as well. And that's why when we look at the portion of scripture and there in Jeremiah 29:11, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." See, Elisha desired something. He desired the power of God upon his life. He desired the strength and the wisdom and the provision and the love of God within his life. He was not satisfied on where he was at. In other words, he was content. He was happy. Yes, I'm blessed where I'm at, but I'm not satisfied. In other words, that he knew that he was at a certain level within his life, but said, you know what? I know there's got to be more. And when we look at Jeremiah 29:11, we understand that there is definitely more that God wants to give us. I believe that is something that God has built within our lives, within us, to say, you know what, always to pursue more. You know, you think about a relationship. I know when I first met my wife, I just knew her at a distance. I just remember the first time I met her, we were cutting up some carne asada, and she was singing all the Disney songs. And I go, who's this nerd right here, like, singing all these songs, right? And then all of a sudden, we became friends. And after that, I was like, man, I really like this girl. She loves the Lord. Finally, I asked her out. I took it to the next level. After I started dating her, I was like, what's up? I got me a gang girl now. I mean, she loves the Lord. What's up, right? But then I was like, you know what? I got to seal the deal, though. I said, would you marry me, girl? And we got married. Then we got kids. And now we're in ministry. Now we're serving God. So what I'm saying is, and even in relationships, there's always a desire to say, I want to get better. I want to go further. And it's the same way in our spiritual walk. That when we come into the doors of Victory Outreach, we came in knowing nothing. Because I know when I came in, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know Christianity existed. I thought Channel 21 was the Mormon channel. I didn't know it was a Christian channel. And I didn't know those things. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't even know why he died on the cross. I thought he was still dead. But as I got saved, I had a desire and a passion to say, you know what, I want to know more about this Jesus. I want to know more about this God. I want to know more about this ministry. I want to know more about the call of God upon my life. I want to know more about reaching souls. I want to know more about taking city. I want to know more. It was a desire and a passion that was burning in my life, but it was a desire and a passion that I believe that God has instilled something in all our lives. But the question is, my friend, are we willing to pursue that? Because you think about it, many kids, when we were growing up, a lot of us, we had dreams and passions. When you were there in your elementary class and the teacher asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Remember that? You raise your hand, teacher, I want to be a police officer. Then we ended up incarcerated. Right? Teacher, I want to be a fireman. We were the one causing fires. Hello, some, right? Am I talking to Victory Outreach or what? Right? We had dreams, right? All of us, we raised our hand for something. We said, we want to be this. And we had a desire and a passion. There was something inside of us as a young child that says, I want more in my life. I want to be this in my life. But we all came to a place in our life where we had to make a decision. And that was decision was, were we going to pursue that? Now the question is, did you pursue it? I know I didn't, right? That's the question, is that many people have a desire for growth, and it's a desire because God has instilled within us, but it's up to us to make the decision and the choice to increase within our lives. See, we've been talking about increase, but have you been increasing? Have you been pursuing it, or is it just going one ear and out the other? Are you just coming up to the altar and getting the goosebumps and tingles and leaving all jolly, but then all of a sudden leave at home what you learned, my friend? Or are you actually increasing within your life? Because it's good to, I mean, we can go, man, we can do some stories in our head, right? Man, we can see ourselves doing all these things, and we get all excited. Or am I the only one? I know y'all talk to yourself. Cut it out now. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're sitting there fantasizing. You're like, man, I'd be doing this. I'd be doing that, right? But it's not just about thinking about it, but it's about being about it. See, God has given us a desire and a passion in our lives to say, you know what, I want to grow, I want to develop, but it's up to us to make that decision. See, too often, too many times, Christians fall in the category of being comfortable. In other words, the idea of growing sounds great and all, but they like where they're at. Because why? There's no work in it. They're happy as long as I'm not a drug addict. As long as I'm not doing this anymore. As long as I'm not out there all lost anymore. As long as I'm not bound anymore. They're comfortable where they're at. Some of you are comfortable in that chair where you're at right now. You're happy right there. Even got your imprint up on that bad boy, right? All of a sudden you walk in knowing where you're going to sit. It blows my mind. Like, I already know where everybody sits. We already know. Don't take that seat. That's Brother So-and-So seat right there. And then if someone's sitting in your seat, you get all mad. Like, don't they know? Got my imprint on that bad boy, right? They get comfortable. And see, you and I, we can live comfortable lives. We can get comfortable where we're at and be satisfied. Hey, at least I got a job, or at least I got a place to live. At least I got money in my pocket, and we're happy where we're at. But knowing that there's more what God has in store for our lives, my friend, We cannot allow ourselves to be comfortable. Don't lose that heart. Remember when you got saved? We were all gung-ho, right? I mean, you wanted everybody and their nana to get saved. Man, you were even preaching to the dog about Jesus. I mean, you were everywhere about the Lord. But then as time went on, all of a sudden we lost that fire, that passion, that desire, that hunger for God. All of a sudden it's not there like it was as a baby Christian anymore. All of a sudden, man, we got to motivate you just to come to church. We got to motivate you to, man, get your Bible, pick it up, read it. We got to stir you up where we should be at a level in our lives and say, you know what, man, I got to do this. I don't need a cheerleading squad to get me to read my Bible. I don't need there to push me. No, I'm going to do it because I know as a man of God, as a woman of God, I have a responsibility. And I know if I want to level up, then I got to get in there, my friend. We cannot allow ourselves, church, to become comfortable and satisfied on where we're at. You know, I think about a group that got comfortable. I think about the Israelites. You know, when we read in the Old Testament how God had brought them out of Egypt and he took them out of bondage and of captivity and given them a promise. And through that promise or that process that God was taking them, he was even showing them miracles and God was moving on their behalf. But when Moses went up to the mountaintop to get the word from the Lord, all of a sudden they got comfortable. They got comfortable right there where they even wanted to build their own images. They wanted to build their own gods and all of a sudden forgot what God did in their lives. See, we can never forget what God has done in our lives. You're not here, my friend, because of yourself. You're here because God brought you here. You're simply set free because God set you free. God delivered you. It wasn't you, my friend. Just because God cleans us up, now we think we're all chulo now, right? Oh, I got it together, brother. I got me a nice suit now, and I'm all good. No, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget it was God that got a hold of your life. Don't forget, man, you were tore up. Right? All tore up. Thought you were all bad, right? But tore up. Yeah. No, God got a hold of your life. And see, that's what happened with the Israelites is they forgot. See, being comfortable is a dangerous place to be, church. Because that's a place where you and I can fall under a trap of the enemy. That's where the enemy can come in and take you and I out. See, 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What does a lion seek for? He seeks the weak. He seeks the vulnerable. He seeks the comfortable, my friend. He seeks those that are slacking off and those that are just kicking back in their spiritual walk, those that are just taking it easy, those that are just relying on church to stay safe. Oh, my friend. That's who he seeks for. And that's why if you and I, we're not pressing forward, man, God, the enemy's going to come in and take you and I out. Understand that God has a plan in our lives, but it's up to us to step it up and take on that responsibility. See, Moses explains in the book of Deuteronomy, in the beginning chapters, he gives him these things. He talks about, you know, how God was moving on their behalf. He writes about how the people of God wandered in the desert for 40 years. He reminds them of God, what God has done for them. He reminds them of how comfortable they were and had become in God's provision. He reminds of them how God had saved them from time and time again. What I'm saying tonight is be reminded of how God moved in your life. Be reminded of even the mistakes that we made that set us back sometimes. Sometimes we forget, like, man, when we blown it, like, man, what where it put us back at. Every time we made mistakes, how it set us back so that we don't do it again. Be reminded, church, so that you and I are not stopped in leveling up in our walk with God. So when we think about leveling up, why did God pick Elijah to replace Elijah? I'm going to look at a couple things. The first one we see is that Elijah requests for some help. See, in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see that Elijah was being chased by the enemy, and the rest of the prophets were being killed, and Elijah felt alone. That he began to cry out, say, God, I need help. That all of a sudden, that God began to look and say, who could I use? That he found this young man, Elijah, that was passionate, just like Elijah. A young man that was passionate for God. A young man that loved God. See, God was looking for somebody that says, you know what, who's in love with me? who loves me, who's willing to serve me, who's willing to live their life for me. God is looking for that today. God's not looking for talented people, church. God's not looking for people that know how to dress up. People, God's not looking for a certain type of people what the world looks. God is just looking for a heart that says, God, this heart just loves you. This heart is grateful. This heart just desires for more of you. And that's something that God saw in Elisha's life. Not only that, but also too, when God had called Elisha, he called him in a time where he was even being busy. In other words, he was doing something. He wasn't just sitting there waiting for the call of God. He wasn't just sitting there, well, I'm just going to sit in my chair, wait for one day that God said, okay, it's time to send you out. No, be busy now. Get down now. Do what the work of God now. Go reach souls now, my friend. Don't wait for that time to come, because I'm here to tell you, God is not looking for lazy people. But God is looking for people that are willing to put their hands to the plow now. And that's what God did, is God selected Elisha as he was being busy there in the farmland. When we look at it, Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, it says this, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord. In other words, God's blessing falls upon those that are willing to work and serve for God. See, if we want to be able to increase or to level up, then it starts for us now to begin to get busy. It's time for us now to begin to put our hands to the plow. So when we think about Elijah, we look at one of the things as we see is that he believed big. When we're talking about believing big, is I'm talking about believing in the God, in our Father, in our Son, in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about believing big and believing in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I'm talking about believing big, I'm talking about the forgiveness of sin. I'm talking about the belief that Jesus is one day is coming back. The belief that the Hades and hell cannot prevail against us. The belief that God has healing power and he's able to be our provider. Believing that God's word is true. That is believing big. Those are the fundamentals. Our doctrine, our faith, and what we stand, that we believe in the God that we serve is not just some little God, but that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my friend. See, we have to settle within our spirit and understand who God truly is. He's not the God that we think he is in our heart. No, he's the God who he says in his word. That's what we have to understand, because when you begin to believe who he is in his word, then you recognize and understand that you serve the Almighty God. You serve the King of Kings. You serve the Lord of Lords. You serve the beginning and the end, my friend. That's who you serve. You serve a big God. I think sometimes we really minimize who God really is. I mean, people get more excited over celebrities than they do Jesus. I remember, it's probably been a couple years ago, there's this singer that came out, Beyonce. I mean, you guys know her. She did a song at some church. You know that this church was dead, but when they brought her, that church got packed out. And after it got packed out, she left, and the church went back. But what I'm saying is people get excited over a celebrity. But how much more excited should we be for the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that set you free, the God that delivered you, the God that rescued you, the God that wanted you when no one else wanted you, my friend. Come on, somebody. Give Jesus some praise. That's the God that we serve. So we got to be able to believe big in who God is. Don't minimize who God is, my friend. It's because when you and I minimize who God is, then we're not able to believe for greater things, because it first starts with believing God. The second area we see is dream big. See, one of the things about Elisha is that he dreamed big. We look right there in 1 Kings 19:21. It says this, so Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and bore their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then they arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. In other words, he dreamed big. He could have settled at the farm. But he says, you know what, I want more. And when I'm talking about dreaming big, I'm not talking about dreaming of having a car. I'm not talking about a dream of having a house or a family. That's good. Those are things that we can pursue and we can obtain. And you can even obtain those things without God. But I'm talking about dreaming big, of doing things that it's going to take God to be able to accomplish. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dreams that God is able to raise us up and use our lives to impact a dying world, using our lives to impact our society. I'm talking about dreaming big. See, you and I, we got to dream big, church. Don't just see yourself just coming to church. Don't just see yourself just day after day, service after service, just coming here. But knowing and understanding, dreaming, saying, yeah, I might be coming here. I may be coming here, but I'm coming with a mindset that one day I'm going to get launched out. That one day I'm going to be a home director. One day I'm going to be a pastor. That one day I'm going to be preaching behind the pulpit. I'm talking about dreaming big. Dreaming big, where you understand that, listen, your dreams are not just about you, where you're looking good and you're behind the pulpit and you're getting pats on the back. I'm talking about dreaming big, where a soul is getting touched, a life is being transformed, someone's getting delivered, and someone's being launched out, and God is using your life. Y'all ain't hearing me tonight. I'm talking about dreaming big, my friend. Not settling for where you're at. God is capable of using your life, but we cannot allow things to boggle that mind and begin to blur our vision. Understand, God's called you and he wants to use your life. Use your life. I remember my first youth night coming to church, and there was just only a handful of us. And my youth leader preaching, one day God's going to use you. One day God's going to use you behind the pulpit. I remember that feeling of saying, wow, that ain't me, that's you, bro. No, not realizing one day I would be behind the pulpit. One day I will be doing that. It's the same way with you tonight. Some of you, God's got envisioned you, but then you sit back and say, oh, there's no way. Why not? You and I serve the same God. Why not? God's not looking for talent. I'm not talented. Believe me, I was the most shyest person in the church. I still am. It's still pretty talk. Why not? But I'm talking about dreaming big, church, and saying, God, use my life. Not so that I could be on a pedestal, but so that souls can be touched, that the kingdom of God can be built for your honor and for your glory. The third thing about Elisha is that he represented big. You know, we read there in Elisha, 1 Kings 19:21, we just read it right now, about him slaughtering the oxen, and not only that, but giving away his equipment, feeding the people, and following Elijah. But then we also read in 2 Kings chapter 2, 7 through 9, I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at the distance, while the two of them stood at the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided with this way and that, so that the two were able to cross on dry ground. And so it was when then they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what you may I do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha said this, please let a double portion of your spirit fall upon me. See, Elisha believed big. He dreamed big. Not only that, but he represented big. And when you look at his life, he was there at a farm doing his thing. There taking care of oxen, doing his thing. But when the call and the mantle was put around him, he was willing to say, you know what, I'm letting go of my past. To the point that even the Bible says that he even cut ties from his past. In other words, he got all his oxen and he slaughtered them. Got rid of his equipment. Some translation says, or some commentators say, that even his tool that he uses to be pulled, he used that as the wood to cook up the animal, to boil them. So in other words, he cut all ties away. He says, okay, I'm going to let go of my past. I'm going to let go of this ace in my pocket. I'm going to let go of these numbers that I have. I'm going to let go of this connection. I'm going to let it go. Because why? I'm going to follow God. He made a decision to say, you know what? That's it. I'm through. I'm done. I have no ties. Nothing that is going to draw me back. See, that's the level that we need to get, church. See, some of us are still holding on to some things. Some of you are even holding on to some old exes on your Facebook. I don't know where that one came from, but man, that's a freebie tonight. But we're holding on. There's things that we're holding on just in case they don't work out. Some that we're able to fall back upon. We should never have anything in our lives that we can go back to. All of a sudden, man, we got to let it go. Cut ties. Not only that, but then we also see that he went under leadership. He became Elijah's apprentice. He was willing to be discipled, to be worked with, to be taught, not just how to do ministry, but I believe Elijah was there even probably working on his character. See, a lot of times we want leaders to want to go under leaders so we can learn ministry, we can learn how to preach, but listen, we're not trying to teach you those things. We will teach those things, but we're more concerned about your character. We're more concerned about your walk. We're more concerned about dealing with sin within your life to become a better man and woman of God. My friend, so that's why you and I, we got to follow under leadership to say, man, work with me, deal with me, help me in my marriage, help me in my parenting, help me as a man of God, as a woman of God, help me. That should be our desire. So he went under leadership where he was able to be worked with. Not only that, but as you read on the story, you find out that when they were traveling together, Elisha had told Elisha to stay at certain towns. So they went to a certain town and said, you know what, stay here. And Elisha said, I ain't staying here. I'm following you. So he followed him, went to the next town, said, stay here at Jericho, matter of fact. He said, I ain't staying here. I'm following you. He said, why? Because he refused to settle where he was at. See, listen, you and I, we got to refuse to settle. We might not be where we want to be yet. We might not be there yet, but don't settle. Sometimes it might take longer than others, and sometimes it might happen fast. I don't know, but regardless of where you're at, you hold on. I think of Caleb. Caleb was there in the wilderness for 40 years, looking at his promise, looking up and saying, man, that's my promise right there. A year went by. That's my promise right there. 2 years went by. That's my promise. 35 years, that's my promise. He held on, and when the time came, he says, I'm ready. He says, I might be old, but there's still a fire in me, and there's still a fight in me that I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to give up. See, a lot of time, we allow time to stop us. Man, where's the longevity in Christianity? Where's the men and women that say, you know what, I'm not here for a year. I'm not here for 2 years. I'm not here for 3 years. I'm not here for 4 years. I'm not just here for 5, 10, 20, 50. I'm here until Jesus takes me home. Is there anybody like that tonight that says, listen, I'm going to do this? And waiting. Listen, there's many a times I wanted to quit. Man, even all the drama that I had to go through, all the transitions and all these things I had to go through. Believe me, I was like, man, there's no, never going to happen. But I kept fighting. I kept fighting. I looked at Caleb. I love Caleb because I look at him and say, man, this man held on for 40 years. And he didn't lose heart. He didn't lose passion. He didn't lose fire. But he continued to press in. Then the fifth one we see is that he received that double portion. See, when Elisha received that double portion, he just didn't sit on it. But what he did is he actually did greater things than Elijah. He did more miracles. He did greater things. And he didn't do those things for himself. He did those things because he understood there was a need. See, understand this. That double portion he was asking for, he wasn't asking for himself. He understood that there needed to be a replacement. He understood that the work of God had to continue. So he said, I'll take the responsibility. But he didn't just take it. He took it to another level. He leveled up, my friend. See, listen, when you given responsibility, level it up. You might just be cleaning toilets right now, but level it up. You might be in Sunday school right now, but level it up. Listen, we all started at one point, my friend. I started as an usher. And I started as the cleaning crew. That's where I started. Then I started in the kids' gang. So you want to be a preacher, then you preach in kids' gang. That's where I started. You want to be a preacher, you better go out there to the streets. That's where I started. But we got to start somewhere, but you got to level up, my friend. Give the Lord a big praise. I'm going to finish off with this. When I was thinking about leveling up, I remember there was a time that I used to be in the video games. How many video game people like video games? Some of you guys, what's up? Man, bro. He said video game. I was video gaming. And this was probably like, I was probably maybe my early 30s, 30-year-old
playing video games. And I only play video games because my boys got into it. And I got this one game. And I got addicted to it. I kid you not, I'd be playing till 3 in the morning, and then I got to go to work at 6. That's how addicted I got. But when you play a video game, you start out with nothing. You start out with nothing playing one level. And as you're playing that level, you're developing skill. You're developing a skill, and all of a sudden you upgrade on a weapon. And this particular one, I upgraded on a sword, and I was all happy, thought I was all bad. Level 1 right there, thought I was a champ. And the more I played, the better I got and the better equipment that I got. And it's the same way in our walk. We come in with nothing. But the more you allow the process to take place within your life, the more you start learning and you start rallying up some tools that help you in your walk with God. And not only that, but then as you start out in level 1, you find out you fight this one bad guy. And he's like a little difficult, he's a little hard. But then all of a sudden you get it and you accomplish it. And it's the same way in our walk with God, is that when we get saved and we go through that honeymoon stage and everything's all peaches and cream, it feels like, but then all of a sudden this little demon shows up. And then we get scared. We're like, oh my God, I can't handle it. Oh my God, it's too hard. Pastor, I don't know if I could do this. Little guy. Then you overcome it. He encourages you, pat on the back, prays for you, and you get all happy, right? Then you get to the next level. And every level, it gets harder. And the demons and battles that you fight get tougher. But you become more skillful. You know that, man, if I was able to fight them off this over here, then I know I can do this. Hello, somebody. Come on. I remember this one time, though. I got stuck. I got stuck on it for about a week. I wanted to give up. I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm done with this stupid game. I'm done. That's how I felt. And I couldn't do it. So finally, I called my son, Mikey. Mikey was a pro back then. Back then, I said. So I called Mikey. Every time we got stuck, we called Mikey. Mikey comes and he gets in there, builds it. Boom. All right, Dad, I'm done. Cool, right? But I didn't defeat him. It was Mikey that defeated him. So, in other words, I didn't learn anything out of it. See, a lot of times we go through battles and we want other people to fight the enemy off for us. But see, we got to understand that you won't learn nothing. Yes, we can get in there and help, and you have the two guys that can help you fight the enemy. But all in all, you're responsible for that. In other words, you're responsible for your own salvation, the Bible says. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. So that you and I, church, we got to be able to fight off whatever comes our way. But in that process, you're always gaining different things. You're gaining different victories. But you're fighting that game because there's something at the very end. There's victory. See, you and I, church, our ultimate victory is that one day we're going to be able to stand before God. That's our goal. That's why we do what we do. We strive to say, one day I want to be with you, Lord. But not only do I want to be with you by myself, I want to bring more people with me. And that should be our desire. If I can have the keyboard come, that should be our desire to say, you know what? I want more of God. I want to level up. I don't want to stay at level 7. I don't want to stay at level 8. But I want to be able to accomplish all that God has in store for my life. Is there anybody like that tonight that says, I want to accomplish, I want to fulfill all that God has for my life? It's time to level up tonight, church. And if I can have you stand to your feet here tonight. This month's been focusing on increase. And it's time, church. It's time to increase. It's time to level up. God has given us the tools. God has given us the things that we need to advance, to go to that next level within our life. But the question is, are you willing to do it? Because leveling up means there's a price to pay. There means that we have to get in there and we got to battle. We got to grind. We have to do it. It can't be somebody else. It can't be your wife. It can't be your husband. It can't be your mom, your dad. It has to be you. But it's up to you if you're willing to grow. Not only that, but it's up to you how much effort you're going to put into it. Because we can let a week go by, 2 weeks go by. I'll do it tomorrow. But understand, every moment is a day wasted or a time wasted. That we can say, you know what, I can grow right now. I can grow. I can develop. I can go to the next level. But it's how much you and I are willing to put in to that next level. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And God, we thank you, God, for your word, Lord. I know, Father, that tonight, God, the challenge has gone out for each and every single one of us, including myself, Lord. I'm not exempt to level up, to go to another level, not to be comfortable, satisfied where we're at. Yeah, things might be going well. Things might be going great. But, Lord, there's more. A lot of us, we have callings. All of us, we have a purpose. And, Father, you desire for us to get to that level, to our full potential. And, Father, we don't want to waste time, Lord. But we want to maximize every opportunity. Every opportunity that presents itself, God. We don't want things to hinder. We don't want things to get in the way. We don't want things to slow us down. But we want to go full force tonight. So tonight, Father, I pray that you check all our hearts, God. And evaluate our lives. That we do that evaluation and see, am I really even trying? Am I really pressing forward? Do I really have the desire and the passion like Elisha's had? That says, man, I want that double portion tonight. And tonight, these altars are open for anybody that says, I want that double portion. I want to level up tonight.